Let us pray. It's summer, dear Lord, with sun and warmth and freedom that we long for during the dark months of winter. Help us to remember to pause, to get out of our tunnels, to stop and look around at all the beauty that you have given us, to take the time to soak in your beautiful creation. This is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for loving us exactly as we are. When we go astray, you see our hearts and love us anyway. Help us to do the same for one another. For all those graduates out there, dear Lord, help them to feel your presence in their lives. And for all the moms and dads, remind them that there is someone who loves them even more than you do, than they do, and that is you. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, who here, when they look back on their Phi Ed class days in school, has some type of a bad memory associated with it? And I apologize to the gym teachers. Raise your hand. I remember we had to throw on those, I was a Richfield, go Spartan. We had to throw on our red and white striped shirts and our red gym shorts. We were all matching, of course, go Spartans. And when junior high came along and we had to get into the pool, someone had the wise idea that they should pass out swimsuits whose sizes were organized by color. Can you imagine? So every person walking by was like, I'm a large, I'm an extra small, I'm a medium. Who came up with that idea? I can't even imagine. And back in my day, we had a super zealous fifth grade teacher who I secretly had a crush on, who loved sports. He was 6'3", an avid sportsman, and strong. And let's just say he had a different idea of what would be considered fun in gym class than your average fifth grade girl. There were a few games in particular that to this day in my memory still make me cringe. Jim was co-ed back in those days, so weighing in at 65 pounds without an ounce of athletic ability, when the time came for picking teams, I wanted to run and hide. So the two, of course, male captains were sitting on either side of the gym, and they would begin picking their teams, calling out names while we were all huddled in the middle saying, whoa! They would choose the biggest and the strongest and the most athletic kids. And with every name that was called, I willed myself to not look panicked. I'm going to be last again. I'm going to be last again. Pretty sure I'm going to be last again. Inevitably, once all the winning picks were chosen, whoever had last pick, which is point at me and then point over to the team and turn around and walk away, while I, crimson-faced, would saunter over trying to put on my cloak of invisibility. Worse yet was Red Rover. In that case, having not a single muscle anywhere and being of no threat to anyone, I'd be called first. Red Rover, send Monica right over. and then spend the rest of the game clinging to the arms of the people on either side of me, praying to God as the big guys would come barreling straight at me, knowing I was the weakest link. At the end of the game, I was covered in red. I couldn't figure out why we were pummeling through each other in these lines, and I wanted to cry. Thankfully, in God's eyes, there are no last picks and no weakest links. God chooses each of us first because God knows our hearts. Today we hear a story of a team being put together God's way. The disciples have just been through their worst dream come true. Their beloved leader, Jesus, for whom they had left their fishing boats and their families, had been killed. One of their very own, Judas, turned him in, cast him aside for his own financial gain. And then Jesus ascended into heaven. Think about that for a moment. You're told your beloved, your trusted leader has ascended into heaven. So you know they're filled with doubt. And yet somehow they need to move forward. They know they need to spread God's word. And so they gather. And first of all, they begin by forgiving Judas for turning in Jesus. Friends, begins Peter. Judas was one of us. Yes, he did turn Jesus in, but the scripture had to be fulfilled, and that was his role in Jesus' ministry. So now we must pick his replacement. Both Joseph and Matthias have been with us from the beginning. They know Jesus. It should be one of them. And then rather than using human standards of choosing, who's the strongest, who's the most connected, who looks best on paper, the disciples in community pray about it. Lord, you know everyone's heart, they say. Show us which one of these men you have chosen to be your disciple. There is so much about this story that intrigues me. How, in the face of such overwhelming darkness and disappointment, did they not just hunker down at home and pull the covers over their head and hide from the world? I mean, can you imagine continuing to proclaim God's love even when you watched your friend get crucified for it? How did they not completely distance themselves from their traitor friend, Judas? Without their trust in God, it would have been all human. You know, I knew there was something suspicious about that guy. I never did really trust him. But instead, they gave him the benefit of the doubt and they forgave him. They claimed him as their friend and said he was numbered among us and played a role in God's plan. And they had guts, the guts and tenacity and bold, faithful courage to continue the work of spreading God's love in the midst of their world's dividing division and hate. Margaret Mead wrote, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." The disciples were just 12 guys, 12 flawed, faithful human beings. The whole population of Christians at that time was around 120, but they did their part and they passed the baton to the current 2.8 billion believers in the world. 12 people with courage, tenacity, and the tailwind of the Holy Spirit. Lessons learned in this story of Matthias choosing Judas. More than their tenacity to continue to move forward for good, more than their willingness to forgive their friend, trusting that his behavior was all part of God's plan. More than their fear of proclaiming love in a world to overcome darkness is that they chose to make their decisions in community with prayer, trusting that God would lead them in right paths for his name's sake. And that, my friends, is key. Can you even begin to imagine how much easier our choices would be and how much smoother our paths would be if we took the time to pray for God's guidance? So our gospel challenge for the week is this. The next time you're feeling way too inconsequential to make a difference for the team, the next time you're trying to cling to the person next to you, praying that you or someone you love won't be bowled over by the big bad boys in the game of life, gather with a friend or two, or 100, and pray, trusting that the Holy Spirit will guide you in the right direction. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. Red Rover, Red Rover, send God right over. Amen.